Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater. Glad you're with us. We've been talking about the agape love and developing in that, and it's a big deal because when we understand the agape love, we start to understand why we're here, who we are, and who other people are. It just gives you a perspective like nothing else. And so remember, there's five loves in the Bible. There's storge love, which is family love. And then there's thermos love, which is passionate love. Thermos is where we get the word. And it keeps things warm and cold. And then there's eros love. That's a sexual love between a husband and a wife. And then there is filial love, which is brotherly love. Filio means brother, so we get the word Philadelphia. And those four loves are all based on emotions. But then there's agape love. And that's the one that God originally created man for. Adam and Eve were created in the agape love. See that? And there was perfect peace and there was paradise in the garden. So really, that's what God is trying to get us back to, is what he originally created. See that? So we have to get back to the agape love. Marriage is established on agape love. And when we understand that, it changes our world. So we want to grow and develop in this agape love. And the more we understand it, it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Remember Proverbs 4:7? Get understanding. We want to get understanding. The more we understand, it helps our responses in this world. Your response is your responsibility. And so when we capture that and really understand that we're responsible for where we are today in life, not our grandma, not our mama, not our papa. No, we are. We're responsible. So we have to take that responsibility. And so that's what agape love does. It takes the responsibility and it keeps loving and giving grace and mercy to others. So that's what we want to grow in. So we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, those all fruit are produced out of the agape love. You cannot produce those fruit without the agape love. So that's what I'm trying to help us see. We have to grow in this agape love to produce the fruit of peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. Fruit, remember, apple trees don't eat their own apples, right? So who's the fruit for? Other people. So that's what we're to be developed so we can benefit other people. And really, it's really all about bringing other people into the kingdom. So when Jesus comes back, they'll get in as well. This is what it's all about. This is why we're gathered here. This is what we want to do. We want to walk in his will and ways, and it gives us purpose and meaning in life. It's principles, promise, and purpose. He gives us principles to fulfill his promise, and then we're in the purpose he put us here for. So let's go to our foundational scripture in Galatians after we read the vision, okay? To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is the verse we've been looking at, and this is what all about the agape love. Now, let's look. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All right. While you're standing there, I want to let you in on a little bit here. We've already talked about joy and peace. Those are fruit of the agape love of God. Joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Can't have this joy without operating and functioning in this love of God. Okay, and then peace. It's only produced out of the love of God. You can have fake peace. It lasts for a minute. Get your bill paid off and it might be peace for a second, but something else is going to take it. But when you have this peace of God, nothing can take it. You with me? So peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. And patience and long-suffering are synonymous. Long-suffering is the word makrothuma. See, there's that word thuma, which was the love, but actually it means passion and compassion. So it's macro means, is where we get the word macaroni. And macaroni, this is the Greek word. This is really where the etymology and where these words come from. So long-suffering is the makrothuma, macaroni. You know what it meant? Long-noodled. So it means long. It means for the duration. It means to stay with macaroni. So now, and then thuma means you're supposed to be long-suffering towards people who are difficult, towards people who just rubbed you the wrong way. So people that get on your last one, you're supposed to be long-suffering towards them and demonstrate Christ and the love of God to them. You see that? Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in the church. It's really been on your last one. Long-suffering. Maybe it's your children. You see, that's why it says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So long-suffering is always towards people. Patience is towards circumstances and situations. So now, you catching this? So think about this. If you say, well, you're there at work, you're there wherever you are, you're there for a witness. They don't want to be a Christian at work. You know, they just upset me. You know, they don't want nothing to do with my Christianity. But you're there for a reason. So when I hear this, maybe that's not why God has you there. Maybe God has you there, and they're difficult, because he is doing something in you. He's developing something in you. You hear me? Maybe they're there, and they're being the way they are to develop something in you. See, that's the way it is. That's a reality. You want to catch a hold of this macrothuma. Patience. You seeing this? Maybe that difficult person in your family is being difficult. Or somebody. But they don't want to change. You're going to be long-suffering towards them. Because God's doing something in you. Well, they don't want anything to do with what? Doesn't matter what they want. You be it. You show the love. Love your enemies? That's agape. You can't do that without this. You see this? It took me a long time to learn that one. I used to pray for my enemies. You know, we're supposed to pray for our enemies. I used to, bless them, Lord. Then I'd be done. But I prayed for them. Now it's different. I'll go into a prayer and really, and mean it. Mean the prayer. Like, Lord, really show them. Help them understand. Help them so they can see for their children, and help them see what they're up against. Help them, Lord. Help them. And mean it. That's agape. You see that? And that's difficult people. That's what long-suffering is about. Now, catch this. Hupomeno is the word for patience. Hupo means under, to be underneath something. Meno means to stay put, to abide. So in other words, you remain, you stay put till you see what you're looking for and what God is looking for to change your perspective. Folks, we don't understand patience. The church has never understood patience. We need to grow and mature in our patience. We need to pray for patience. Now listen to me. It means to remain under, to keep your position. I'm telling you, if you're having trouble in a marriage, you need some patience. You say, well, your husband or wife says, well, I'm leaving. You say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying here because this is where I belong. You tell them, that's it. You stay put. That's patience. and I'm going to stick in this. If they leave, that's their deal. Now watch this. In a military sense, it means to picture a soldier who would be ordered to maintain their position even in the face of death or fierce combat. Their order was to stand their ground and defend what had been gained, no matter how hard or difficult the assignment. The goal was to see that they survived every attack and held their position until they had outlived and outlasted the resistance and the difficulty. Did you catch that? That's patience. See, we become impatient. And then we want to murmur and complain. That's one of the worst things in the world you can do. All right. We're going to look at James chapter 5 real quick. This is where we were last week. And this is so important. Now look what he says. He's given us three scenarios on patience and how we're to demonstrate patience. Look what he says. Therefore, be patient, brethren. Who's the brethren? That's you and me. See that? We're brethren. If you're a believer, if you're born again, you are the brethren. Now look, he says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See, this is the second advent. There's more written and more documented and prophesied on the second coming of the Lord than the first coming of the Lord. There's more on his second coming. So we're waiting on Jesus' return. This is how we're to live our lives till Jesus comes back. You seeing this? Now watch. Until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earthly and latter rain. Now pay attention now. So the farmer, he uses the farmer. Now a farmer has to plant the seed, and you know, he only sees dirt for a while. He goes out and looks at it the next day, still sees dirt. He's watching it, all he's seeing is dirt. And then a little blade will stick up through the dirt. But now he's dependent on the rain, the sun, the weather, all these that he can't control. He has to stay busy until those things pop up, until it begins to grow. He stays busy and depends on all the weather, everything going on. Why? Because the harvest is precious. That's the way it is with you and I. What's the harvest for us? Other people coming into the kingdom, a harvest of souls. Our lives should have an impact and be an impressionable on others to cause them to want to come in. That's the harvest. You see that? That's the patience we're supposed to have for others to be coming in. Now, watch this. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit. That's the harvest. The earth waiting for the latter. Okay, now look. Give me the next one. You also be patient, established in your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now watch. Do not grumble against one another. This is significant right here. We went over this last week, but I'm going to revisit. Grumble. The word grumble means to complain. So now he's saying, do not complain. Do not grumble. While you're waiting, be patient. Don't grumble. The word complain, the etymology, see, I'm a word person. We have to get the history. We have to get the word, what it's saying. Grumble, complain. The word complain, C-O-M, com, means to blame. Plain means lot in life. Means like property, your lot in life. Now think about this. So when you complain, you are blaming other people for your lot in life. Did you hear me? You are blaming other people for your lot in life. You're responsible for where you are. You are responsible. Out of your heart comes the issues of your life. Your response is your responsibility. That's agape love. Now look, he says, do not grumble. Don't complain. Last night, I had a little dream about the church and this right here. And the Holy Spirit showed me that in Numbers, for their complaining and murmuring, God had Moses put a snake on a pole. And everybody who looked at the pole was healed of their diseases and what they were dealing with. But the people who didn't, because a lot of them didn't, wouldn't look at the snake. They continued to complain and murmur. They died. And God allowed the snakes to bite them. Who? God did. When you complain and murmur, you get the enemy, the devil's presence. When you praise God, the word praise means appreciation. I'm a God, I appreciate you. I've got a roof over my head. I've got clothes on my back. I got hot water. I have something in the cabinet to eat. I'm praising God. Yeah. You see, you're thankful. You're grateful. And that's what God is looking for. When you complain and murmur, you get the enemy's presence. And he'll help you along with that. He'll make sure you're more miserable. But when you give God praise, he's going to help you along with that too. He's going to make sure you're taken care of. Are you listening to me? Now pay attention. Listen. It says, brethren, lest you be condemned. Listen to me. If you're complaining about your spouse or your marriage or your family or your children or your circumstances, he says, you're condemning it. The word condemned means sentenced to death. You're bringing death to an area of your life that God's trying to get life to. Because the area he's trying to get life to, if you're complaining about it, the enemy's using you to bring death to that area of your life. Maybe your marriage is struggling. You complain about it. You call Betty, oh, he's doing the same thing. The enemy's using you to destroy your own household. Or you're complaining about your wife at work to your buddies. Same thing. Enemy's using you to destroy your own deal. You're bringing death because of what you're complaining about. Are you catching this? This is the way the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible teaches. This is wisdom from God. Now, look at this. Folks, listen to me. Are you catching this? I mean, this is as big as it gets right here. But you know what? Here, I got to tell this. Last year, when Libby was going to another school, she goes to Cedarville now. She went to Ohio Northern, and she was in a Bible study group, and they were studying the Bible, and Olivia spoke out. You know, she's not real outspoken, but she spoke out on this. She says, we're not supposed to complain. Oh, they had a hissy. Where's that in the Bible? They weren't taught. They've never been taught. It's in Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, that you may be found blameless and harmless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will shine as lights in this world. You'll start shining just by not complaining. Now think about this. And then she sent and wanted to know where that scripture was. So I sent it back to her, and they got quiet. You know what? You're going to take heat when you stand up for what you believe. You see that? You will take some heat for that. We aren't supposed to complain and murmur. You're actually complaining against God when you do that. And you're blaming other people for your deal. Doesn't this help you? Now, behold, the judge is standing at the door. That's Jesus. Give me this next one. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and what? Patience. He says, now look at the prophets. The prophets speak truth. You are a prophet, priest, and a king if you're born again. There are times, just like Olivia, she stood up for what she believed. She said, we're not supposed to complain. You're going to take some heat for it. You hear me? You're going to take some heat when you stand up for what you believe. And people aren't going to like it. And they're going to persecute you. And they're going to say things against you. And they're going to reject you. But you have to be patient in your suffering. It works. Every time. Every time. You see, they persecuted the prophets. And then it says in Matthew 5:10, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He wants you to be happy when you're persecuted for standing up for the truth. You see that? That takes patience. Because nobody likes to be rejected. Everybody wants everybody to like you. Everybody wants everybody to be, you know, but God says, he wants you to be patient. You see this? Folks, we got to start using this word patience like it's part of our life. You see this? Now, give me the next one. Now he says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. This word endure also means patience. It's the word, same word, Greek word, hupomeno. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Now he's using Job as an example. So he uses the farmer, he uses the prophet, and now he uses Job. If you read the book of Job, that's a good one. Now, I was taught in Bible college that the fruit of the Spirit is the hedge that was around Job for his protection. And that's really what it is. Remember, it's not the fruits, plural, it's the fruit, one. All those work in unison, in one. He used an orange for the example. It has nine little sections, but they're all one orange. You see that? And he used each one as, you know, that's the way he demonstrated it. And it's the hedge around us. And so in Job chapter 1, Satan comes to God, and he says, what about your servant Job? I can't get to him. He's got a hedge around him. Because Job was upright. He was the most wealthy man on the planet. Job, at the time. I want you to pay attention. How did the devil know that God had a hedge around him and he couldn't get to him? Because Satan couldn't hurt him. Satan couldn't touch him. You see that? There are things going on that God has protected you from. You can't imagine the car wrecks, the different situation that God has protected you from. Oh, are you catching this? And that's the way it is. And God said, okay, you can do what you want, but don't take his life. Don't take his life. See, the devil can't take your life. He can deceive you into taking your own life. When you're ignorant of what God says about life, he can deceive you into taking your own life and messing up your own life. That's why we got to grow and mature. Now, he ends up taking, the devil got him to where he messed up, lost all of his family, lost all of his wealth, all of his children, but he didn't lose his wife. And his wife, you know what his wife said to him? You might as well just go ahead and curse God and die. Now look at the one you're dependent on talking to you like that. You know what Job said? Though he slay me, I will trust him. He was a demonstration of patience. He stayed in touch with his God, and he ended up getting back double. All he went through, he got double back. You see that? Some of you have gone through things. God's going to give you double for the trouble. Are you listening to me? You've gone through things, marriages, difficult times. God's showing you something. Am I making sense? And you're going to get double for your trouble. Is this making sense? Now think about this. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. And we're going to look at Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael, okay, you'll find that in Genesis chapter 16 if you want to read it. Ishmael was the first son that was named before he was born. Isaac was the second son that was named before he was born. See, they used to name the children after they were born. But before Isaac was born, he was named, and Ishmael was named before. Ishmael represents impatience and represents the flesh. Flesh. And also we get Islam. This is how 9/11 happened. Are you listening to me? Remember 9/11? That came out of Ishmael. Are you listening to me? Ishmael is impatience. And it means son of war. It brings a war. You want what you want. And when you want it, you're not willing to be patient. Isaac represents patience. Isaac means joy. Son of joy. You see, he's the promise. Isaac is the promise child. Now, I'm telling you, we got to understand this. And so that's what I'm trying to help us understand today. Now, pay attention. As it is written, talking about the Bible, I have made you a father of many nations, talking about Abraham. Abraham is the father of many nations, okay? That's what Abraham means, father of many nations. In the presence of him, meaning Abraham, whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead. See, God gives life to the dead. And that's what God wants. He tries to bring life to those dead areas of your life. And God's trying to bring life to those dead areas of your life. You see that? So if your marriage is having some dead areas, God wants to bring life to it. If your finances have dead areas, he wants to bring life to it. If your relationships have dead problems, God wants to bring life to those relationships. You see that? Or your attitude or your disposition. You know, you may be grumpy old, and he wants to get that out, and he wants to bring life so you can be an example and a witness. Am I making sense? Now, this word dead, right here, dead, is the Greek word nekros. And listen to what it means. It means a lifeless corpse. They're dead. No matter how cold or dead and lifeless our situations seem, God can bring and empower divine life to every situation of your life. Are you listening to me? When it's connected to the promise. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory and virtue, by which we have exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises we take on his nature and escape the corruption that's in this world through lust and deceitful desire. You see, when you have God's nature, now you're managing that lust and those deceitful desires. And they no longer control you, but God is in control, and he produces the fruit of the promise in your life, and you escape the corruption. See, the corruption is what? The corruption of God's will in your life, things that are deteriorating in your life. He wants to bring it back to life. Am I making sense? That's what happens when you get in touch with his divine power. I can't just talk about that because, do you see what I'm saying? Folks, listen. That's how it is. And he really wants to bring life to those areas of your life. See, that's what happened to Abraham and Isaac, or Abraham and Sarah. See, his body was dead physically, and her body was dead for reproducing. So that's Sarah laughed when God said, you're going to have a son. She laughed about it. She thought, this is a joke. I'm too old to have a baby. She didn't believe, but Abraham believed. See, Abraham believed. Next thing you know, they're having a baby. I'm trying to help you see something. I get a hold of this. In the presence of him who believed. That's Abraham believed. See, he had his faith. Now look, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls things that don't even, as though they did. You need to start speaking that. Life. You see that? To those dead areas of your life, start speaking life to it. And God will bring some life in there where things aren't moving. Am I making sense? If it's in faith. So we looked at Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, meaning Abraham, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. Next one. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. In other words, he knew he was older, but he didn't take that in consideration. He believed what God said. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. See that? Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.